The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome into the Brad Sessmatt Show. I am Jordan Hamm filling in for the big guy with Eric Sorensen, Jared Nielsen on the other side of the virtual glass, making sure we look and sound good. And it's been a very busy week and weekend of sports. A lot to get to with the Suns, college football, what's going on with them. The Coyotes are continuing to make a run as well. So plenty to get to. So let's waste no time. Jump into our rundown brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union, and appreciate their support. And Eric, you know, I think at different times over the weekend, it was, okay, we're going to lead with the Suns. Okay, we're going to lead with the Coyotes. Okay, but I think as it stands right now, the biggest question is college football and its future. And later in the show, we will have NAU head coach Chris Ball talking about the Big Sky's decision to postpone their season until the spring. And now it is looking like it's inching towards the Power Fives could be following suit as well. The Detroit Free Press reporting that the Big Ten has made that decision. Haven't seen any other confirmation on that early on, but this is news happening right now. John Wilner reporting that the Pac-12 presidents haven't made a decision, will make a decision by Tuesday at the very, very earliest. But Eric, just crazy how quickly, you know, 2 weeks ago we were talking about a condensed schedule, and you know, we had fancy graphics coming out of, you know, what the fall is going to look like, and then very quickly things just seemingly unraveled.
It seems, Jordan, that the SEC is going to be the salmon that insists on swimming upstream. They are pretty dug in on their stance, and there's even a wild report out there that they are trying to get other schools to come into the conference, whether that be this year or for future years as well, to play a season, which I think is just ridiculous. You know, like, just conform. I know you're the SEC. Mm-hmm. I know you play by your own rules, but let's do
it. What's just best means for more.
It just means more, but let's just do what's best for the big picture. You know, I love college football. It's my favorite sport. And I just think that the longer this goes on, okay, you know, Brad and I were talking about this back in June. Like, all right, we got some time, you know, then July came around. You're getting a little closer. It's sort of like with the high school football season. You just have to reach a point where you either make a decision or everything gets canceled. And I think college football is to the point where they just need to cancel everything. So.
Yeah, and it's been interesting seeing the players' response. You know, the hashtag "We Want to Play" has come out. That's now mixing with "We Are United," which was you know, last week. That was when various conferences and player reps from the conference were talking about potential payment to play. They were wanted to go over health guidelines. This feels like the closest we've gotten to a college athlete union, which, whether this season happens or not, whether you know, no matter what comes out of this, I think that's the significant news also from last night, was all of a sudden there is an organized voice, and it's the biggest names in college football. It's the Trevor Lawrences, it's the Justin Fields of college football, which could go 1 and 2 in this draft, this upcoming draft. So the fact that they are now, it's not a conference-wide thing. It's not, you know, as much as the conferences have done their own thing on the AD and president level, it seems like the players are starting to unite nationwide. And I think that's not a surprise as well. You know how recruiting is, and you know how guys get to know each other. The world is getting smaller with social media, but now it seems like the steps are starting to be taken that real change on the player level could be happening as well.
This is just another 2020 pivot, as I like to call it. And over the weekend, Jordan, we started seeing some pretty high level draft prospects like Rondell Moore from Purdue, who basically is like, I'm not playing this year. Sorry. I'm just going to get ready for the NFL draft. Thanks to everyone at Purdue for making this happen. But yeah, I agree. I mean, this delay or cancellation could be a revolutionary time if it comes to athletes getting paid or however this thing shakes out. And I'm just, like I said earlier, let's just get a resolution. Let's get everyone on the same page, you know? Let's just cancel it, okay? Like, why do we keep trying to square peg round hole this season when the later we get, the deeper we get in the summer, some kids aren't even back on campus yet. And again, like we saw with college basketball, Jordan, the Ivy League was way out in front. Remember, like during the Pac-12 tournament, the Ivy League's like, nah, we're not going to play our tournament. And then in the summer, Ivy League football said, nope, we're going to push it back to the fall. And sure enough, like you're seeing, you know, now the Big Sky and some other smaller level conferences and schools are doing the same thing. The MAC is not playing this year. And so it's only a matter of time, I think, before the Power Five dominoes start falling and hopefully everyone gets in alignment and we just don't play this year, as sad as that is for me to say. So hopefully, like I said, we'll get some sort of finality when it comes to this season. On the other side, Jordan and I are going to talk a little bit about the Coyotes advancing in the playoffs, as well as what exactly is happening with the Diamondbacks and that pitching staff. Coming up next right here on Sports360AZ.com. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. Apologies for the technical difficulties we had wrapping up the first segment there. We're going to jump into, before we get to Chris Ball, NAU head coach, talking about the Big Sky delaying their season. In the next segment, we want to talk what's been going on the local level. It's been a very busy week and weekend. And I think first things first, let's also give a little shout out to Bruce Cooper. I had his last show last night, was able to watch that, and just an incredible career at one station, started in Phoenix, has been Phoenix through and through, and has really been a staple. Him and Jude LaCava this year, both stepping away from the Arizona sports scene. Those two guys are two individuals that they have been titans in this industry and in this market, and you'd never know it if you showed up to a media availability. And I was a rookie reporter, and they were two of the first people just to come up, say hi, get to know me. They were always quick with a compliment and encouragement, and there's a reason that their colleagues and their competition have really showered both of them as they went on their way out, because that's just the way they handled business, and they had incredible work ethics, but also treated people as they should be treated. So congratulations to both of them this year as they step away and kick their feet up them. And I do feel bad for them, though, because we might have Suns playoff basketball right as they retire. They had to sit through a decade of no Suns playoff basketball, but Suns getting close. They're 5-0 right now. They're tipping off, I think, in about, 45 minutes or so. Against Oklahoma City, still have some work to do, still about a game and a half back. But Eric, these do they just need to build a bubble here in Phoenix just to get the same effect that this roster has had being in Orlando and being in the bubble? Yeah, it's crazy, Jordan. Before we get to the Suns, Brad Sesmat wrote a really good story on Bruce Cooper. He talked to a bunch of different people who had some really funny anecdotes about Coop. It's up on the site at Sports360AZ. You've got quite a bit of feedback about that, so make sure you check it out. The Suns, well, okay. I'm going to be glass half empty guy, because okay. I am just, it's great what they're doing. Okay, it's been an incredible run. They have a chance to make the playoffs. For all the people that say, oh, well, if they make the playoffs, it's not a traditional playoff berth, whatever. Now, forget about that. The sad reality is, Jordan, I just, like, they're fighting for the 8 seed. You're a native.
Sure.
I'm a native. Like, the playoffs in the good old days, like, you didn't even have to worry about them making the playoffs. And now there's all this buzz about this team that is still, what, 9 games under 500? Yet has made this incredible run in the bubble. So I don't think they're going to finish it. But then again, I called them to lose to the Clippers way back, like, three or four games ago. And the Suns have gotten a little bit lucky with some players on the other team, some key players not playing when they play the Suns. That's not the Suns' problem. I'm anxious to see what happens today against Oklahoma City, because that's the case again. A couple of the Thunder better players are not going to be playing due to injury or healthy scratch or whatever. But I don't know. Like, it's been really fun, but the reality of the situation is everyone's getting excited for them to maybe get the 8 seed in the playoffs. So
I think I get that. And also, they very well could go 8-0 and still not make the play-in game. Like, that's a very real possibility as well.
That being said, the had they been positioned right in striking distance when they went to the bubble, then I don't think this is as big of a story. Like, yeah, okay, they're playing good basketball, all right. It's the turnaround that it's taken, and we've seen with Major League Baseball, you know, a lot of times it's like some of the best players in baseball, some of the best Diamondbacks have struggled mightily, and you can kind of chalk it up just to like, this is the weirdest season they've ever been a part of. And, you know, even if they're fully healthy and things are ready to go, it's not a contract year or anything like that, it's still going through a lot of adversity. This team has gone through the most adversity it ever has, and this is how it's responding. So you're seeing Devin Booker step up. You're seeing Cam Johnson be a different player. Cameron Payne all of a sudden looks like a very serviceable backcourt option and a guy that can be around for a couple of years. But yeah, it's the closest to must-see Arizona sports TV that I feel like we've gotten in quite a while from the Suns because, yeah, it's previous years, if they're on, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll just kind of throw it on in the background and, you know, check and, you know, go about your day and fully anticipate probably a loss. But now all of a sudden it's midday. Okay, I'm popping this on and I'm parking it. And, yeah, I'll get some work done on the couch, but I'm still going to have an eye and a half here on the TV.
Yeah, I think earlier what you said about Devin Booker is so true. I mean, the bubble has allowed Devin Booker to become the mega star, I think, nationally, that we all knew he was in Phoenix. But the status, he has raised his level of play even more so in the bubble. And another player that I think is really gaining some traction who had some whispers against him is Ricky Rubio. Like, the Suns did not have a point guard the last couple of years. And everyone's like, oh, they overpaid for Ricky Rubio. Clearly, Ricky Rubio, I mean, Devin Booker is the star. I would say DeAndre Ayton is the Robin to Batman. But Ricky Rubio is really the facilitator, the leader, the floor general. I know those are all overused cliches, but his value cannot be understated during this run.
And it's with the second unit the past couple of years, it's been like you could have put me on Punk'd and grabbed anybody, and I would have believed, like, oh, yeah, that's like the ninth man for the Suns. Okay. That group in the past two games were the ones that kind of fueled the victory when you have Carter going off and, you know, just various people kind of stepping up and just making those huge plays. So it's been really fun to watch. Kind of same deal with the Coyotes. They're
playing. And one more thing, Jordan, I want to say real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, but can you imagine what this team would be like if they had Kelly Oubre Jr. playing right now? And that alone is reason for optimism next year, okay?
Yeah.
Can you keep this core? Can you raise the level going into a full season next year and add Kelly Oubre back into the mix? Mm-hmm. That could be good.
Yeah, just speaks a lot to what Monty Williams has been able to do and that guys are buying in. Because if there's any excuse not to buy in, it's when there's a world pandemic. And they're playing their best basketball. So on the Coyotes front, they're setting up against Colorado. They have a tall task ahead of them, but they were able to take care of business against Nashville. And again, just a different cast of characters coming in each day and doing what they're supposed to do. You have Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel finally playing their best hockey. And Darcy Kemper certainly, you know, if we've seen one thing, the one thing I love about, you know, baseball and hockey is there's one position where you can just will your way through a playoff series. And for baseball, it's starting pitcher. And for hockey, it is goalie. And that's pretty much exactly what's happening right now.
And with Darcy Kemper, I talked to some people over at the Coyotes, and they said even before the Nashville series, they said, you know what, if we get hot goaltending, like you mentioned, we can beat this team. And they were right. I mean, the Coyotes were, outside of one game and a couple little hiccups here and there, they were pretty dominant against a team that they were supposed to lose to. The Avs are really fast. They're super fast. They're really young. It's going to be a great series. And it's odd. Like, did you see the schedule, Jordan? They play like Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. So they have, they have a little break. Like, I thought for sure we'd have like a Tuesday game, you know, maybe even a Monday game. The Coyotes haven't played since Friday. The Avs played on Saturday. So it's going to be a little reset for both teams. And I'm anxious to see what happens. And when you think back to those last Coyote postseason teams, they didn't have a ton of goal scorers. It was exactly that format. They played good defense. The goalies usually played out of their minds in the biggest moments. And that's kind of been the recipe. And credit John Chyka, even though he's not with the team anymore.
Right.
But he's the one that kind of put those pillars together and has continued that and enhanced that. On a very different note, the Arizona Diamondbacks. It was a rough weekend. They were able to scratch a win or two out, but especially yesterday with Madison Bumgarner, and he's driving back to from San Diego to get his back checked out because it sounds like there were some spasms and his velocity is way down. I didn't think the velocity down was necessarily a bad thing at the beginning of the season, just because we've seen Zach Greinke's velocity was down when he was here, and he was pretty darn effective. And you could still see Madison Bumgarner use those pitches that move a lot and just pinpointing on the corners and things like that. But to give up four home runs that early on, and the Diamondbacks, I think they gave up six. The Padres tied their franchise record in the first three innings of the game. Like, that is wild. And yes, the Padres have a murderer's row offensively. Fernando Tatis Jr. is
so
going
good.
To be the next big thing.
So good.
But he, like, that was just some rough going yesterday, and they're going to have to reset pretty quickly here.
You know, Petco is not – correct me if I'm wrong, you're the seam head here, but Petco is not, like, a real hitters-friendly ballpark, is it?
No, it used to be like the worst in the league. They've made some adjustments to make it a little more accommodating, but by no means is it. When you're in a division with Arizona and with Colorado, Petco is like hitting in the Grand Canyon.
Here is my big picture concern, Jordan, with the Diamondbacks. I took a look at the standings today. Okay, the Diamondbacks, we're almost a third of the way through the Major League Baseball season, which is crazy to think about. But when you only play 60 games, that's the reality. The Diamondbacks are 5.5 games behind the Dodgers, but they're 5 games behind the Rockies, or maybe it's the other way around. You know, the reality of the situation was, okay, the Diamondbacks aren't better than the Dodgers, but if they can just finish second in the NL West, they can still make the playoffs. Well, you have Colorado that's off to a good start. The Giants are playing relatively well. Obviously, the Padres, like you mentioned, have a ton of young talent. They're much improved.
Yeah.
I just don't know how they're going to turn this thing around, because now the runway is so much shorter with only 40-some-odd games left.
Sure. And you only have, I think the starting pitcher you feel good about right now is Merrill Kelly. That's about Zach Gallen. That's really about it. So,
right.
It's been a busy weekend of Arizona sports. Coming up next, we have Chris Ball, NAU head coach, Big Sky, one of the first conferences to make the decision to delay their college football season. He goes through that with me coming up next.
Well, a decision facing all college football conferences right now is to try to play in the fall or delay to the spring or beyond. One of the first conferences to do that, make that decision to delay, is the Big Sky Conference. And we are joined by NAU head coach Chris Ball right now, being affected like that with that decision. And coach, thanks for joining us. Just to start things off, just how are you doing since this news came out just a couple of days ago?
Well, you know, it's been quite a ride since we shut things down in March, and we've continued to try and continue to move forward. You know, Mike Marlowe and Dr. Chang, our president, were very supportive of moving forward, and continue to you know, figure out a way to make your football program better. We've done that. I thought we had a great plan when this thing shut down, and then we continued to move forward, and you know, we got 3 practices in, and then we decided to not play this fall. So very disappointing, you know, not shocked, you know, not really shocked. You know, all you can do is worry about the things that you can control. And we talked to our team all the time about, you know, red light, green light, you know, red light is, you know, stop worrying about stuff you can't control. And green light is stuff that you can't control. Go ahead and spend the energy on that. You know, you want your attitude, your effort, your energy, and continue to move forward. And, you know, some things you just don't have any control over. And, but it's not shocking to me that, you know, we were we hung on as long as we could as a conference. I thought, you know, there's some conferences back east that shut it down a while ago, and we continued to figure out a way to get this thing done, and just couldn't get it, you know, just not quite safe enough for us to continue to move forward playing this fall. So right now we're planning on playing in the spring, and that's what we just got to get ready for.
Mm-hmm. You've said it, this decision isn't surprising. Is it something that you support? Would you have liked to try to wait it out a little bit longer and see if things could turn?
I don't know if you could have waited it out a little longer. You know, there's after a while, it gets mentally draining with everybody involved as far as, you know, what's going to happen, what's going on, and from the top down. And so it's, I think, you know, you got to make a decision and move forward, you know. And I thought, you know, when this first thing coming out, I thought, well, you know, it's going to be hard for us to travel and play other teams and keep everybody healthy. And I thought it'd be really, really tough to do. But as long as they gave us the opportunity to get better, we would take it, you know. So I'm fine with the spring season. I think that's a great idea. You know, it gives them time to figure this whole thing out, and hopefully we can get a conference schedule done in the spring.
How have your players handled this on the mental side of things, not only with the delay, but also just going back the past couple of months when, you know, the virus really broke out? No one really knew, you know, what it was or how long it would be around and that sort of thing.
Our players have handled it great, you know, really, really pleased with the way they've handled it. They've done a great job of following the protocol, you know, doing what we're asking them to do. Really, really proud of the way they've handled it. They're disappointed, you know, but also I think a little bit of relief. You know, some of them concerned we'd start a season and stop in the middle of it and they wouldn't get their eligibility, you know, some eligibility concerns, you know, just the same as everybody else, you know. It's just, it was taxing on them, you know, mentally. Mm-hmm. And I think now that we figured out that, you know, everything's going to be moved this spring, I think there's some relief. So now we can get back in the weight room. Obviously with the strict protocol and still be able to do some things, you know, to continue to make ourselves better. I think there's a little bit of a relief knowing that we're going to play in the spring. Mm-hmm.
With this timeline now that during the fall, what does that look like? You mentioned the weight room. What else can you do with your team to help them continue to get better and prepare for this spring 2021 season?
Well, you know, nothing's really come out. You know, we're waiting to hear what, you know, the NCAA has been pretty quiet on what we can do and what we can't do. So we will try to do as much as we can. First and foremost, the safety of our players is the most important, but also to continue to move forward and develop them a football player. So right now it's whatever you can do. We're not going to do anything with pads. You know, everything we'll do will be in shorts and shirts and so it'll be a lot of social distancing, not a lot of work together, a lot of work separately, and then wait and hear what the NCAA guidelines will be.
And as you navigate through those guidelines, when you look at spring football, obviously going to be a big change for everybody involved, but how do you think, what adjustments do you think you're going to have to make as a coach with not only the spring football season, but then the traditional fall 2021 season? Have you been able to kind of think that far ahead yet?
Yeah. You know, it's hard to, cause you just don't really know what the schedule is going to be. You don't know what, when we will start practicing for that season. You don't know what, are they going to give you 15 days like you had in the spring, you know, in a normal season in October. And we just don't know, you know, it's still pretty much up in the air. So, the turnaround, you know, I've been on programs. We played in a bowl game in January and turned around and had spring ball in February, you know. Now, granted, spring ball is not quite as intense as the fall, but if we do play in the spring and then turn around and play in the fall, you know, there's some things you can do schedule-wise to widen that gap between the spring season and the fall season. You're really going to have to watch how you practice towards the end of that spring season. But, you know, I'll just have to wait and see what the schedule is, you know, before we start putting something together and seeing where this thing goes. So it's, It's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be really interesting on what, how we move forward. I think the next concern will be that, you know, can a college football players turn around and play a season in the spring and then turn around and play in the fall. So that's going to be interesting on how that, what happens there, but that will be the next hurdle. That'll be the next discussion, I believe. So, but you know, right now we don't have, like I said, we don't have much control over it. We're going to keep moving forward and try to make ourselves a better football team.
No matter whether it was during the season on a high school football sideline or in the multiple off-season showcases that I was at, it seemed like there was at least one NAU coach there recruiting. You guys have done a really good job blanketing Arizona looking for guys. How has this coronavirus affected the way you guys recruit, and how do you think the delayed high or a college season could affect recruiting over the next couple of months for you guys?
Well, you know, it's the number one thing we do as far as a staff of building our program is recruiting. Like I've said before, one of the most attractive things about this job was the recruiting base in the state of Arizona. So we've made a commitment to recruiting the kids in the state, and it's affected it because you can't really get out and see the kids. You know, our camps are big up here. We have great camps, and you get around the kids and you can really see. And we have four things, or really five things, that we look for, you know: character, smart, work ethic, mental toughness, and talented. And it's hard to get the character, smart, work ethic, mental toughness just off of tape and talking to them on the phone. You know, it's something you've got to get in person. But we've had some great conversations with some kids. When we shut this thing down, we were spending about 4 hours a day on recruiting. We've got a bunch of kids recruited, offered. I think we've got 13 commitments already. But we've done a great job of identifying those type of kids through communication. You know, we're doing Zoom recruiting videos. We're giving Zoom campus tours. We're driving around, you know, showing the new facility we got going up and on Zoom. So we've done a great job of creating some unique things as far as our recruiting goes, and it's worked. You know, we've gotten some really, really good players on board. We just got to hold on to them. But, you know, that's what it's going to affect, is being able to eyeball a kid, look him in the eye, be able to watch him play in person, you know. But, you know, there's ways around it. Again, you know, we got to worry about the things you can control. So we can get on Zoom and have these conversations. We can show them what we're all about, show them our campus. But those things, we just got to dig deeper for the character, smart, work ethic, and mental toughness part of it. We can see that they can play. You know, sure, it'd be nice to have them in camp or watch them play live on a Friday night, but that's probably not going to happen. So we got to make the best of it. I do believe right now this could be our best recruiting year. You know, we've had two really good ones, but I think this one could be our best. So excited about the kids we got on board, and looking forward to adding some more to that. But it's worked out.
Coach, we appreciate the time and the insight on what you guys are going through as a program, and appreciate you just kind of opening up to us and letting us see kind of what everyone is going through right now.
Thanks, Jordan, for having me on. And, you know, this thing is going to end someday, and we'll all look back on it and say, wow, what an experience, and what an adverse situation for everybody, you know, not just football programs, but everybody. But it's been an unbelievable learning experience. But, you know, life goes on, and we all got to keep moving forward, and no matter what you do. And I think this is a great lesson for young people and everybody, you know, is, hey, control what you can control, and be a great neighbor, and trust in your faith, and move forward, you know, and it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out.
Absolutely. We appreciate the time, Coach. And thanks again just for sitting down with us.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Jordan Hamm alongside Eric Sorensen and Jared Nielsen on the other side of our virtual glass, making sure we look and sound good. And it's been a very busy couple of weeks, as at least pro sports have come back. It looks like college is going to be a little bit more complicated, as we heard from Coach Ball and reading news about the Pac-12 and various conferences navigating that. Eric, I wanted to ask you, though, as we went from 0 to 60 like 3 weeks ago on sports coming back, and now there's all these, leagues going on at once that aren't usually going on. The Cardinals are ramping up here. Their first day at camp will be, or open camp at least, will be 2 days from now.
Correct.
What about this Arizona sports scene has surprised you most coming back from COVID?
It's got to be the Suns. I mean, like no one thought this was the Suns when the NBA season came back, Jordan. The Suns were just, I don't want to say an afterthought, but okay, they're going to play the Wizards. That's nice. They're going to beat the Wizards. Then they're going to get Dallas. It's probably going to end with Dallas. And if Dallas doesn't get them, the Clippers will get them. Well, like we talked about earlier in the show, here we are. I mean, they're playing game six. They're 5-0 in the bubble. There's so much excitement around this team. And I think that the restart for the Coyotes has been great as well, because we sort of get, I don't want to say the NHL gets lost, but it's just as, you know how it is. When football starts, most other sports just kind of take a backseat to the casual fan. And certainly here in Arizona, the Coyotes have a number of diehard fans, but the big picture view of the Coyotes has always just been like, yeah, the Coyotes are here too.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on the Suns. It felt like when it was like, oh, they got included in the bubble. Well, they'll get eight more games together. Like, that could help, I guess. You know, just looking for a nice storyline. They have surpassed that and then some and then some. But for me, I think it's the Diamondbacks. Like, I know it's early on in. It's only 20 games. But you felt like the Diamondbacks were going to really make some noise here. And the way that Robbie Ray came back and pitched in summer camp, and it was like, oh, this guy he's going to be like positioning himself for a Cy Young. And it has just been surprising that usually with the Diamondbacks, when there are struggles, it was easy to pinpoint, oh, they're just not hitting well. Oh, they're just not pitching well. Oh, this particular pitcher isn't throwing that well. It's been a different issue almost every night. And that's been the strange thing. I mean, the offense, I can't really wrap my head around that. All of that talent, a good offensive team, and you add Starling Marte and Cole Calhoun, and they have done what they are supposed to do. But like the rest of the team has really struggled. You know, Madison Bumgarner struggles. Robbie Ray, Luke Weaver, I thought was going to come back and pitch really well. And it's been very interesting. And I knew that this season was going to force Torrey Lovello to get a little more trigger happy, because usually he is the, I'm going to look at it from a million different angles. I'm going to give guys their time to work through things, that sort of thing. He has said, I don't have that luxury this year, but now it feels like you throw that on top of a short season and they're really not playing well. Now it feels like, all right, we got to make something drastic happen. And who knows, maybe Alex Young gets moved into the rotation with Mad Bum getting looked at and that sort of thing. And maybe that can help jumpstart some things. But it's for good and bad reasons, the Suns and the Diamondbacks, both the surprising teams in my mind.
You know better than anyone, Jordan, these baseball players are creatures of habit. And I just wonder if some teams have just adapted better to the shortened season coming back at like what should be the end of the season. And further, I never, ever put any sort of stock in spring training or practice games. But what we saw in LA against the Dodgers, although the Diamondbacks did not run out their best pitchers, I mean, they got destroyed. Then they went to San Diego and easily could have lost their first four games. They won 1 of 4. And then ever since then, it's just like they have not, they come back, they take, 2 or 3 from the Astros, then they go on the road, they lose 2 or 3 of the Padres. When you're chasing in a shortened season, you just can't fall behind like that. Like Pedro Gomez always tells Brad, like, you can't win a division in the first month of the year, but you can lose it. Well, in a shortened season, I mean, that really rings true.
Yeah, and
I think the other interesting thing is, like, a lot of the losses over the Torre Lovello year, it hasn't been many, like, blowout losses or where they just don't look strong. There's been a lot of losses like that where it's just been, like, within the first two innings, it's like, I can probably put this game on mute and I know what's going to – and I know what the post game is going to look like and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's certainly been interesting. But Sun's about to tip off here in just a little bit. So, and, yeah, it seems like this college football story is ever-changing with the minute as we go along. So make sure to tune in to Brad Sesmet's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona this week. We're going to have a lot of interesting stuff. Part of that Chris Ball interview will be on there. Also, Greg Biggins from 24/7 Sports talking some recruiting. Always good to get him on. And Catherine Fitzgerald of AZ Central, one of the best Twitter follows out there, will be talking Cardinals with me. So that's all coming up this week. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Brad Sesmet Show.